Okay, so I wanted to talk about Hanukkah a little bit, Hanukkah, but bring out a very important general idea from Hanukkah. This idea is based partially on a shir I once heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro. The Brisa in Seder Olam says as follows, and we're going to try to explain this Brisa, and accordingly, Hu Alexandros Mokdon, Shemalach Yud Beishana. Ad kan hayu hanaviyam isnavim beruach hakodesh, mikan va'elach hot aznecha ushma divrei chachamim. So what the Brisa says is that until Alexander the Great rose to power, until the rise of Greece, neviyam were misnavim beruach hakodesh. Mikan va'elach, subsequently, hot aznecha ushma divrei chachamim. Listen to the words of the chachamim. What this medrash is telling us is that the rise of Greece corresponded to the termination of prophecy and the transition from nevuah to chachma. Instead of listening to Nevi'im and the receiving religious guidance from Nevi'im, instead we receive that guidance from chachamim, hat az necha ushma divrei chachamim. So what I'd like to do is try to understand this medrash. What exactly is it telling us? What is the nature of this transition? What does it have to do with Hanukkah and the like? So first I want to begin with a Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma, Samech Tes Amud Beis, is as follows. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Lama nikra shman anshei knesses hagadola shehechziru atara liyoshna. Why are the anshei knesses hagadola referred to by that name? What makes them so great? Because they restored the crown to its glory. Asa Moshe, Amar, hakel hagadol hagibor vehanora. Moshe Rabbeinu referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the phrase that we say in Shmon Esrei, HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanora. Asa Yirmiyah VeAmar. Nachrim Mekarkarin BeHechalo Ayeno Ra'osav Lo Amar Nora. Yirmiyahu saw that there were Gayim that were croaking in his Heichal. Where is his Noraos? Right? In other words, there was no, how could you call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nora in a world where there were Nachrim Mekarkarin BeHechalo? And therefore, when he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he left out the word Nora. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "Osa chesed alafim u'mishalem avon avos el cheik b'neim achareim hakel hagadol hagibor Hashem tzvakoshimos." So clearly, he was based off of Moshe's words. However, he leaves out the word Nora. Asa Daniel Amar Nachrim mishtabdim bavana vayeg v'rosav lo amar gibor. Daniel left out the word gibor. A similar point, the pasuk says, "Ves palalal Hashem Elokai ves vadeh veomra ana Hashem hakel hagadol vehanora." So he leaves out the word gibor. Why? Nachrim mishtabdim bevanav. So there was a lack of gvura. There's a lack of gvura, then he couldn't possibly praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu with gvura. Asa inhu veamro adiraba zui gvuras. Gvuras so shekovesh es yitzro shenosin erach apayim l'rishayim. Came the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and they said, no, adarabba, do you want to see his gvura? His gvura is precisely in the fact that he's kovesh es yitzro. Like we say, ezu gibor hakovesh es yitzro. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds, does not do what one would naturally do, as it were, and that is a manifestation of his gvura. Ve'eluhei no ra'osav, she'elmalei mo ra'o shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu eich uma achas yicholu liskayim bein ha'umos. Likewise, the Medrash Tanchuma says a very similar idea. Adrinos sha'al es Rabbi Yeshua gedula Gedola kivsa she'omedes bein shivim ze'evim. Amrelei, gadol haroa she'matzila. Right? Great is the kivsa, the lamb that stands between 70 wolves, depicting Klal Yisrael's existence in Galus. One sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. And you want to see the gvura. The gvura is, or in this case, the gdula, is the roesh shematzilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rabbanan hechi avdi hachi v'akri takanta detakin Moshe. Am Rabbi Elazar mitoch shiyodin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'amitihu lefikach lo kisvu bo. How could Daniel and Yirmiyahu change? So the answer is they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was amiti, and therefore they couldn't speak falsely of him. So let's try to understand this Gemara. This Gemara is very perplexing. Yes?
So Daniel had an aura in
there. Yes.
So
how could each one? Good.
No, I'm not meaning if Yirmiyahu felt that Nora is no longer there, why all of a sudden does Daniel think that?
Well, they were responding to two different things. Daniel was responding to Nachman Mishtabdin Bevanav, and that apparently is a Prisos in Gvura. And Yirmiyahu was responding to Nachman Mekarkarin Beichala, when that was a Chisaron in Naros.
Right, but I'm saying both things happened, so why wouldn't both?
Right. Okay, yeah. That's the question we need to answer. So, the Yesod is like this. A person can only Mishabeach, should, that's what the Gemara is saying at the end, should only be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a midah which they perceive. L'mashal l'madav r'domeh. We don't say Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem in the summer. Why not? Bishlama, we don't say V'sein Talu Matar, because we're not Mivakesh rain in the summer. Geshem in the summer is a simum klala. But why do we not say Mashiv HaRuach? Mashiv HaRuach is Shevach. And therefore, what is the problem? What's so bad about it? The answer is that midah is not present in the summer. Doesn't rain in the summer. We don't perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashiv HaRuach Umar Dageshem, and therefore it's inappropriate to praise him as such in the summer. That is, yes?
Doesn't the Mishnah Finance sort of say that is also a kasha?
Yes and no. It's a different sugya. It's a sugya. I mean, it's a sugya, but it's clear from the Gemara Brachos. It's not. It's begeder shavach. It's not begeder bakasha. How that works. In other words, it does have the function of but it's not a bakasha. I don't think so. At least that's the what I'm saying now is the answer that I saw in the Rishonim. So they ask the question. They don't see it as bakasha. We could look at this again. So, what's the pshat, right? The pshat is that you can't be meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in something that's not active. So, in a world, Yirmiyahu didn't perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noraos. Not that he didn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nora. Certainly he did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nora. Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly right. But that midah was not manifest in the world. Adarabba, Nachrim Mekarkarin Beichalo, and likewise Daniel did not perceive the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world of Nachrim Mishtabdin Bevanav. So if that's true, then we have to ask, well, why did everything change with the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? Obviously, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola did not live in a time where we were all of a sudden restored to our former glory in terms of power and dominion and place in the world. How do we continue to say Hakel Agadol Agibor Vanora? We say it even in the darkest of galos. So, what's the pshat in the Gemara? So, there's a similar Gemara, and this will help us understand it. The Gemara in Gittin, on Nun Vav Hamad Beis, famous passage, Ma'asa Titus, when Titus HaRasha destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so what did he do? Tafa zona biado v'nichnas leveis kochi akadashim v'hitziya sefer Torah v'avar ala aveira v'natol sayif v'gider es haparochas v'nasenes v'yadam v'atzveitz v'yotzei. So Titus did the most heinous possible act we could imagine. He entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he rolled the Sefer Torah out on the floor, he was Bo'al Azona then and there, and we couldn't possibly imagine a greater sacrilege. The Kasavar Harakas Atzmo, he thought he killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rahmana Litzlan. Abachanan Omer, Mikamocha Chasin Ka, Mikamocha Chasin Vekasha. So what was the response? How should we respond to such an action? Such a disgusting act. Says Rav Chanan, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mi kamocha chasin ka, who is like you, who is strong? In other words, we see here the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi kamocha chasin v'kasha, shata shomea ni'utso v'gidufo shaloso arasha, you hear the insults and the blasphemy from that wicked person, v'shosek. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Mi kamocha be'elim Hashem, mi kamocha ba'ilmim. Tana Rabbi Yishmael said, mi kamocha be'elim Hashem, mi kamocha ba'ilmim. So what does this mean? So Yesod is as follows. When was mi kamocha be'elim Hashem initially said for the first time? Kriyas Yamsuf, exactly. So Kriyas Yamsuf was, of course, the greatest manifestation of Giloi Kavodo Yisborach. There was, in all of history, perhaps no greater miracle. Hence, there was Shira subsequently. Everybody who witnessed it was convinced absolutely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed, that he was powerful, that he was Akel HaGadol Givo Me'anora, Rashif Chalayam. Hence, Bnei Yisrael said Shira, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem U'Moshe Avdo, etc. That was the greatest manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in perhaps what we could call the first stage of Jewish history. Broadly speaking, if we were to divide Jewish history into two segments, the first segment would be one of Giloi Shechina, one of Nevuah, one in which Torah Shebichtav dominated, one in which there were overt miracles, 10 Nisim in a Beis HaMikdash every day, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated. That would be the first stage of Jewish history. The second stage, the one in which we're in now, is one of Giloi, of Hester Panim, not Giloi Panim, one in which there's no longer prophecy, there's no longer overt miracles, and the like. Now, that being the case, we obviously relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently, and we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently in this second stage of Jewish history. How is that different? Instead of seeing what the Gemara's, these two passages that we've seen today, indicate, is instead of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gdula and Gvura through miracles and the like, we see it through his hiddenness, through Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. Thus, the Gemara says that if in the first stage of history we see the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Kriyas Yamsuf, Mi Kamocha Ve'elam Hashem, who is like you among those that are powerful, in this second stage of Jewish history, where do we see it? We see it in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kovesh Es Yitzro, Mi Kamocha Ba'ilmim Hashem, who is like you among those that are mute. That very same response of Mi Kamocha is seen in diametrically opposite situations in this second stage than it was seen in the first stage. And that's exactly what these two Gemaras are saying. Let's go back to the Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara says that Yirmiyahu had to leave out the word Nora because he didn't perceive that particular midah at that particular time. Daniel had to leave out the word Gvura because Nachrim Mishdabdim Bivanav. That was in the first stage, to be sure, towards the end of the first stage. But the first stage of Jewish history, there were still Nevi'im, there were still Nisim, and they lived in the world of Giloi Panim, in a world in which Klal Yisrael and the Am HaNivchar were being persecuted and tormented, and the Beis HaMikdash was being defiled. And thus, they didn't see the Gvura and the Nora, and therefore they had no choice but to leave it out. Like the Gemara says, not to say it would be a Chisaron in MS, because they would be praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a midah which was not perceptible at that time. What happened? The Anshei Knesset HaGdola marked the second stage of history. The rise of the Chachamim, as epitomized by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And in that second stage, what is the way in which we see the Gvur Nenoraus? Like the Gemara says, Shekodesh Baruch Hu Kovesh Es Yitzro. Zui Gvuraso, Shekovesh Es Yitzro, where the Gemara in Gittin, Mi Kamocha Ba'il Mim Hashem. You want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura, look at his muteness, look at how he doesn't respond to Gidufo V'ni'utzo Shal Oso Harasha. That is the Yesod. So if we go back, yeah.
Daniel was on the Sechela.
I'm sorry?
I think Daniel was on the Sechela.
Yes, he was during the transition, right? It was clearly this isn't there is a point, a line that divides it. This took place over centuries, right? And the transition was the beginning of Bayis Sheni. In other words, that was Bayis Sheni was not Bayis Rishon. There weren't the Nisim. There wasn't the Aron. There wasn't the Gilui Shechina. Nevuah was coming to an end. And that was the period of time that Daniel lived in. Daniel's Nevuah was very, very different qualitatively than those that preceded him. So Daniel lived during this transitional period. The end of prophecy, and Adra, we're going to get to this in a moment, how it's very significant that it was a transition, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola began with Nevi'im sitting on it, right? That's certainly significant. So let's go back to what we started with. We started with the passage from Seder Olam. The passage said that the rise of Greece, of Yavan, was parallel to the termination of prophecy. Ad kan hayu neviim misnavim ruach hakodesh mikan va'elachat az nechoshma devei chachamim. So, if you with this idea, we could understand this passage and understand a very important idea in the holiday of Hanukkah. This passage is telling us that Hanukkah marked this transition as well. This change from Nevuah to Chachma. From a religion dominated by prophecy, by Torah Shebichtav, to one dominated by Torah Shebal Peh and Chachma. Mikan, right? Ad kan hayo neviim misnavim biruach hakodesh. Mikan va'ela chat az nechoshma devei chachamim. There was a transition. It was neviim to chachamim. If you imagine that when the Jewish people at this time, the time of the rise of Yavan, the story of Hanukkah, the beginning of Bayis Sheni, so when prophecy ceased, we could only imagine how the Jewish people felt. There must have been tremendous despondency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped talking to them. The conversation which began between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai had seemingly come to an end. Did this indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rejected them? That there was no longer a relationship? So, I think that the nace of Hanukkah is meant to address this point. Moshe Shapiro pointed out an interesting thing. The nace of Hanukkah, of course, is the miracle of burning without consumption. That miracle did not take place for the first time during the Hanukkah story. The first time in the Torah where we find this explicitly is Hasneh Bo'er Ba'esh Ve'eino Ukal. There was burning without consumption. The significance of that moment was that was the beginning of Matan Torah, Tavdunas Elokim Bahar Hazeh. The Rishonim point out that reflected the beginning of Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to Klal Yisrael as a people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu began the Nes, the period of communication with the Jewish people as a whole, with the Nes of burning without consumption. The Pasuk in Parshas Emor, when describing the location of the menorah, says, Mul parochas ha'idus bo moed yarochos o'aron me'erv ad boker lefnei Hashem l'dor sechem chukasov. So, Mul parochas ha'idus, the simple understanding means that the menorah was next to the parochas ha'idus. It was called the Paruch HaSeidus because the Paruch separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim were the Luchos HaSeidus. But the Gemara in Shabbos, and Rashi Ala Torah quotes this, that it's strange that we all of a sudden refer to Eidus in context and in conjunction with the menorah. What does it mean then? The idea is that the menorah was Eidus, the Gemara says, L'chol by Olam Sheshchina Shor B'Yisrael. How so? Through the nes of the Ner Ma'aravi, Shenosein L'Hashem in Kemidas Chavroseha, Uva Hayamadlik, Uva Hayamisayim, meaning to say every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the nes of the Ner Ma'aravi. These nisim agav continued until Shimon HaTzadik, who was the parallel to Alexander, which is another parallel to the point that we're saying. So there was a special nes, and this nes was Eidus Hu L'chol Ba'olam Sheshchina Shor B'Yisrael. What does that mean? That, if you look at the Maral and the Gur Aryeh on that pasuk, he points out that this was like Kiyum Shtaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu began talking to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, and the Eidus, that relationship continued, was through the nes of the Ner Ma'aravi. The nes of the Ner Ma'aravi was that very, very same miracle, the miracle that started it all, burning without consumption, or without normal consumption. And it happened on a daily basis to show that Har Sinai Matan Torah was not just a one-time event in history, but it was something that was continuous, that had not ended, but rather continued throughout the ages. And of course, then, the very same nace takes place with the story of Hanukkah. Once again, burning without consumption. And the nace is, of course, very significant, because at first glance, we wonder, why is the nace necessary? The military victory, we understand, but what is the significance of the nace of the burning menorah? And the answer is that before this second period of history was to begin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the very same nes one more time to tell us that even in this period of Choshech, even in this period of Hester Panim, I have not abandoned you, though there is no longer Nevuah, but nevertheless the relationship, the conversation continues. And this explains the many Makoros, the Gemara in Yoma, Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara, this passage in Seder Olam, which equate the Nes of Chanukah, the Yontif of Chanukah, with Torah Shebaal Peh B'Dafka. The idea is that Chanukah reflects this transition, like the Brisa says, Ad kan hayu neviyim misnavim beruach hakodesh, mikan va'ilach hat az nechol shema divrei chachamim. This transition took place during Hanukkah, the transition between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It begins with the very same nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that he hasn't abandoned us, that it's continuing, that the relationship that started at Sinai continues, but at the same time, it's changed, it's different. Just like we saw in the Gemara in Yoma, just like we saw in the Gemara in Gittin, that originally we would see the Gvura and the Gdula of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nisim, Mikamocha Ba'ilim Hashem, and now we see it through Mikamocha Ba'ilim Hashem. I'd like to elaborate on this point with an idea from Reb Tzadok. And we'll see in a moment that the Ramban really makes the very, very same point. First we'll start from Tzadok, then we'll get to the Ramban. Tzadok writes, as follows. This is in Pritzadik Bereshis L'Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Az Chachmas Mitzrayim Kishoth Below Seichel Enoshiyi Rak Chachma Elyonis Me'aklipa. So first we have to introduce the notion of Kishuf to explain what he's talking about. If you study Tanakh, certainly the Pshuto Shel Mikra, is there is this concept of kishuf, of sorcery, of magic, of black magic, whatever you wish to call it, and that these were something real. Of course, you know the position of the Rambam and other rationalists that all the kishuf in the Torah is simply sleight of hand, and we could talk about that position a little later, but the Pshuto Shel Mikra is not that way, and certainly the position of Rov Mefarshim is that kishuf is something real. Rashi on Sefer Shmos, Perek Ches, when it says that the sorcerers of Paro were not able to replicate the Mak of Kinim, the Lo Yacholu, Rashi says, She'ein Hashed Sholet Al Birya Pchusa Mikisaora, that the magicians were able to replicate Dam and Tzvardeya using Shadim, and they were not able to do so for Kinim, because it lacks that power. The Ramban says, Avalainyan Kipshuto, Ki Biro Sachartumim, Shelo Yachlu Lahotzia Sakinim, Hodu Bemaisa Aaron, Shahaya Meis Halohim. The Lachain Lokara Lahem Paro Min Haes Hazo, Sahala, that's why Paro stopped calling them after the third plague. And then he continues, Uma Shelo Yachlu Achartumim Lahotzia Sakinim, not like Rashi, Siba Meis Hashem Haisalahem. Sikel atzasam birtzono, shakol shalo vakol biado. This was actually part of the nace of Kinim. The nace was that they weren't able to do and reproduce the Makkah with kishuf. Meaning to say, according to the Ramban, they should have. It was a nace. Built into Teva, built into the world, are these abilities to do magic through the Kocho Satoma. And therefore, if the magicians were unable to do this, that was precisely the miracle. Hence they say, Etzba lo kim hi. Vanir be'enai od, ki makas adam lafoch toldas amayim ladam, umakas hatzvardim lahalosam min hayeor, yochlu lasos kim, that they were able to do. Because it didn't involve any type of creation, it was simply transformation, in the case of water to blood, or collection in the case of Tzvardim. Ki ein bahem b'riya o yetzira, ki lo amar hakasav v'yiyu atzvardim, rak vatal atzvardim. They can't create something new. They're not able to do b'riya, create something yishmiayin. So they were able to collect the frogs, but not create them. Rak vatal atzvardim ashat, shenasvu v'alu, rak Makas hakinim haisa yitzira, ve'en teva ha'afar lihios kinim. That was yitzira, was transforming one thing into something totally different, as opposed to blood, which is fundamentally water. And therefore, alkein amar v'hayel kinim. All right. But what is the Ramban saying? The Ramban is saying that be'etzem, this was a nes, right? There is this natural koach for that chartumim were able to do, to do magic. And this idea comes up in many places. There's a very fascinating discussion in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Ches about how to understand the whole story over there with Shaul and the Balas Ov. Maybe again another time we could talk about that. But that is the idea. So first of all, what is kishuf? Why is there kishuf? Why should there be kishuf? So the pasuk in Koheles Perek Zayin says, "Gam ezeh leumazeh asa Elokim." Chazal in the Gemara in Chagiga Tesvav Menala says, "Gam ezeh leumazeh asa Elokim." Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Ma Shekadosh Baruch Hu Bar Kenegdo Bar Harim Bar Gvaos Bar Yamim Bar Naharos. Rabbi Giva Omer Bar Tzadikim Bar Rishaim. The idea that the Gemara is saying is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu creates equal or close to equal and opposite forces in the world in order to allow for Bechira. And therefore, in a world in which there was Nevuah and there was Nisim, Memela there had to be Kishuf and Kocho Satuma to allow us to predict the future, Ov and Yedoni and the like, because otherwise there wouldn't have been the possibility of Bechira. And the idea is exactly what we've been saying until now, that during this first stage of history, there was tremendous gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Nisim, in terms of Nevuah and the like. And therefore, Memela, there had to also be these opposite kochos, these kochos HaTuma, keneged the kochos HaTahara, to counteract that. And therefore, there were built into the Bria these ideas. So Reb Tzadok points out, that's why we shouldn't be surprised that there isn't, you don't see Kishuv too much anymore. You might have great illusionists, I don't know, David Copperfield and Houdini and the like, but they're not magicians. Because in our world, they no longer exist. Reb Elchanan writes about why the last dibuk took place during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim, after the Chafetz Chaim. In other words, when there isn't these kochos of Kedusha, then there aren't the same kochos of Tumah as well. And therefore, that's the idea, by the way, of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is, again, if we follow the approach of the Ramban and others, it wasn't absolute narishkeit. They were able to harness certain powers, certain spiritual forces by doing so. Perhaps we could talk about that another time exactly how, but it was something that was real. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Atzei Knesset HaGadol davened, again, the beginning of this second period, this second stage, so they davened for that the Avodah Zarah, the taiva of Avodah Zarah, be taken away. That had a opposite aspect as well. You couldn't just get rid of Avodah Zarah and that would be it. That paralleled, if you look at that makor, the lack of nevuah, the lack of kedusha, the lack of nisim, there is always this parallel. You see that also. That's why when they wanted to be mevatel the taiva, so people wouldn't have children anymore. So there has to be this zel umaseh, and that's what the Gemara in Chagiga is saying. So now let's go back to the passage of Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok writes, "Az chachmas Mitzrayim, kishuf below seichel anoshi, rak chachma elyonos mehaklipa." So the chachma of Mitzrayim was one that harnessed negative spiritual forces. V'hu zel umazeh neged chachmas ator shebichtav shehu min hashamayim. Therefore, at the time of Matan Torah, the beginning of Torah Shebichtav, there were these equal and opposite forces of kishuf, of magic, and the like. The Chachmas Yevanis, Desham Haschala HaPhilosophia, Shehu Chachmas Sichlis, Deos Kozvos Uminos, Vehaya Az Bizman Alexandrinos Mokdon, V'hu zelu mazeh neged chachmas Torah shebal peh b'kedusha shu gam kein mischadish b'leiv chachamim asher mofia b'libam divrei Elokim chayim mitala de'atika. Says Reb Tzadok that if Mitzrayim was the koach that was omed keneged Torah shebichtav, so Yavan is the koach that's omed keneged Torah shebal peh. And thus, like we said before, Mishakam Alexander, so Pascha Nevuah, and Mikan Vahala, Hat Az Nechosh Ma'ala Devei Chachamim. These are the opposite forces. And that's the Yesod. During the first period, there was a taiva for Avodah Zarah, but there was no taiva for Kfirah or Minos. There was no such thing as an agnostic or an atheist during the first period of Jewish history. There was so much overt supernatural activity in the world that everybody believed. The question is, what did you believe in? Did you believe in one God? Did you believe in two, three, a pantheon, whatever it was? And even then, it's not even so much what did you believe, but if you follow the Ramban, it's what did you serve, right? What did you serve, and how did you serve them? And did you go to the Makor, or did you tap into the kochos of the lower beings? So everybody believed in the supernatural. What was Yavan? Yavan came, they arose, and they said, no, there is only Chachma. All there is that which you could see, that which can be proven. There's no such thing as miracles, and there's no such thing as magic. There's no such thing as prophecy, and there's no such thing as Oviedoni. None of that is true. All there is Chachma. And that, of course, is Zelum Azet, Tatar Shebal Peh, which is rooted in Chachma. I'll just finish the paragraph. V'az, bizman Alexandrinus, Mokdon, Hayashimon Atzadik, Kemosha Amru Biyuma, Shayam Shari Anshe Knesset Agdola, V'az Hischil Hispashtos Betar Shebal Peh. And elsewhere, Reb Tzadok writes, this is in the Pre-Tzadik and Parshas Netzavim, Kemosha Matinu bizman Shimon Atzadik, Shayam Shari Knesset Agdola, Shem Yostu Atoira Shebal Peh, Az Haya Kenegdo Alexandrinus Mokdon, Virabu Shehifitsu Chachmas, Hachachmas Yavanis, Shehuminus Vapikorsus, Shezelu Maze, Ukemotion is Barbe Makomacher, Shebizmancha Yatsarech Leos, His Galus Atoira Shebichtav, Haya Az Chachmas Mitzrayim, Vacharkach Bebavel, Haya Od. Ashefim v'chartumim l'umas shehaya az b'Yisrael neviim. Uvizman shehischil hispashet chachmas haTorah shebal peh shehu al hagavan misechel hachachamim shebe'emes hu ma shemofia bahem Hashem yisbarach hischil etzlam l'umas zeh chachmas yivanesh shehu gamken ma shemachadshim misichlam, meaning to say it's rooted in the sechel as opposed to rooted in revelation. Ve'al ze nemar v'im yeshto v'nei nechar shehem ha'umos ha'olam tiroshcha sher merames l'tar shebal peh. Now, we have to explain something here. When I refer to Tar Shebal Peh, when Tzadok refers to Tar Shebal Peh, what is he meaning? What does he mean? Tar Shebal Peh comes from Sinai as well, right? We receive two Tars at Sinai, Tar Shebal Tav and Tar Shebal Peh. What do we mean that this is the ispashtos of Tar Shebal Peh? So what we mean, and this is an idea that you see in many places. The Netziv in his Kidmas Emek presents a very similar idea, again, how the first stage of Tarsha Bechtav is one which is rooted in intuition, the second stage of Tarsha Baal Peh is one which is written in Seichel. What are they referring to? So, of course it's true that the Tarsha Baal Peh comes from Sinai, Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Of course we know the Halacha, and are able to understand and interpret the Tarsha Baal Peh based on the Tarsha Bechtav. Tarsha Bechtav based on the Tarsha Baal Peh. But what we mean here is as follows. There was tremendous evolution and expansion in Tarsha Baal Peh during this period of time. Mishnayis, Gemara, Gaonim, Rishonim, Achronim. This is tremendous expansion. And it's one which is rooted in Seichel. Mashal amad davar domeh. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, b'machshekim o shivani zu Talmud Bavli, that Talmud Bavli is keneged our being in a position of choshech. Machshekim, choshech. So what does that mean? So what's Talmud Bavli all about? When you read a Gemara, the Gemara starts with a lack of understanding about something. It's like choshech. If I go into a room that's completely dark, and I walk in, and I feel something, and I say, okay, what is this? Well, it has four legs, so maybe it's a table. And then I say, wait, one second. No, I feel there's a back. No, it's not a table. A table doesn't have a back. Must be a chair, right? So that's what you do when you go in, and you don't know anything, and it's dark. So you start asking, you grope. That's what Talmud Bavli is about. That's what Gemara sounds like. We quote this thing. What does it mean? Maybe it means this. No, it can't mean this. It doesn't mean that. That contradicts this. Oh, maybe it means this. And we'll come to some conclusion, or we won't come to some conclusion. That's what it means when we say choshech. That's why in the Talmud Bavli it says ta shma, not even ta chazi. It's something that you can't see. It's something that you can only hear. That's capable. You're capable of arriving at the truth using your seichel. Meaning to say that how do we arrive at the conclusion, the maskana, the gemara? Of course we use psukim. Of course we use halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. Of course we go back to that which we received at the revelation. But ultimately it's an exercise, more than anything else, in seichel. And that hispashtos and that evolution and that expansion is something that continues and continues and continues. Ad hayom hazeh. And that's why the ikar of our Torah, and our ikar, the primary way in which we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is man hazeh, is not through nevuah, but it's through the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Ramban writes in the Drashas, Torah Hashem Tamima, and this is an idea that he has many places as well in his commentary on HaTorah. V'im kein, ki mi sheyischadesh lo davar keneged hatolda, bein al yidei chartumim u'mechashvin, bein al yidei navi, miyad yeda v'yamin b'chidosh. This is a fascinating idea. How do we know that the world was created? How do we know that there was Bria? Maybe Aristotle was right, that the world always existed. Matter is infinite. So the Ramban answers that we know this through Nisim. Okay, that's something that's typical. The Rambam already makes this point in Mor Nefuchim, that Nisim are inconceivable within the Aristotelian notion of the universe. The Ramban also writes, though, that we know about this through Chartumim. We could prove the existence of God through the fact that magic exists. Umikan tirach zarius rosha philosophim v'kashio yimcheshmo. Here we see the cruelty, a fascinating term, of Aristotle. Shehu makchish kama dvarim shera'u rabim v'ra'inu anachnu amitasam v'nisparsimu ba'olam. He denied many things that were witnessed by the multitudes and that we observed their truth. Uva'osan hazmanim hakadmonim kigon yamim shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom hayunodim lakol. These matters were clear and obvious to everyone in earlier periods of time, like the period of Moshe. Ki achachmos be'oso hador hayukulo nruchnius. This is exactly the idea that we saw in Reb Tzadok. The chachmos in the door of Moshe were ruchnius dika chachmos. They were like kishuv. They were like Torah. They were the chartumim of Mitzrayim. Kigon inyanei ashedim ha-mechashvim u'minei haktaros le'malachas ha-shamayim ulefi shemachmas kirvasan lebriyas ha'olam ulemabul lo ha-yashum adam makhish b'chidosh ha'olam velo memara beloka. Like we said before, there was no such thing as atheism or agnosticism in those days. Their proximity to Brias HaOlam, or to the Mabul, which was a recreation of the Olam, was such that nobody could ever even imagine denying the existence of God or the creation of the world. Ella shayu mivakshin to eles mitzad avodas Hashemesh vayareach v'mazalos v'osin lam tzuros lekabel koach elyoni. They did all sorts of things so as to gain certain powers and shefa through serving the sun and the moon and celestial bodies and the like. Ki afilu bena philosophim kasuv besefer. I don't know what this word, this obviously this was an earlier philosopher, well before Aristotle. Al Tilasmus? No? Right, so he was earlier, right?
He was much earlier.
Much earlier. So he's saying, even in those early Greek philosophers, Shemeviim Beturas Ruach V'dibur, V'kash... Okay, so that's what it was in stage one in Jewish history. V'kasher Kamua...
I think he's talking about Thales.
Oh, yeah?
In which case, he's the first ever Greek philosopher.
Okay, excellent. V'kasher Kamua Yevanim, V'heim... Am chadash shelo nachalu chachma. So what happened with the rise of Yavan, like we saw? So they were a nation, shelo nachalu, they denied everything. Everything that was presumed until this point in time was questioned and rejected. Kasher bier val sefer akuzari. Kam ha'ish hayadua velo hemin rak b'morgash. The only thing he accepted, the only thing he believed in was that which he could perceive, or that which he could prove. The chafas V'chipes chachmos morgashos v'hikchish haruchnias. So therefore, he denied all these spiritual powers. V'amar she'inyan hashedim u'maisek shafim efes v'ein ba'olam pe'ula rak letivim. V'davar yadua meforsim she'enom kein. It's interesting. The Ramban in a couple of places, when he rejects the Rambam's position that there was no such thing as magic. So he says that this is scientifically ungrounded, untenable. He doesn't reject it. He also alludes to the fact that the Torah mentions it. But even more, he says, how could you say this? He calls the Rambam in one place. He's like, he says, Machmas Chasiduso. He said something that's inconceivable, that there's no such thing as Kishuv. The davar yaduam uforsim shenu kenu mikom makom ba'osan zman shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom lo haya shum rasha va'apikofer va'apikores kofer ba'elu. So what is the Ramban saying? The Ramban is saying, like we said before, that there's this zelum ha'sad, there's two periods, and during that first period, the fight was something else. Yavan, the Ramban is saying, corresponds to the beginning of the second period, the milchama, the nisayon, the zelum ha'sad, of the second stage of Jewish history. And in this second stage, it's a very different fight. Now, one of the beautiful ideas that Reb Tzadok develops is that there's certainly something negative. Lack of nevuah, lack of nisim is something that is very, very regrettable and hard to deal with. But there's also a maila. When you have come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through seichel, which is human-focused and not from something external, your knowledge is in a certain sense more powerful. It might be less accurate, but it's also greater because it's independent. And that's the maila of this tkufa of Torah Shebaal Peh over Torah Shebichtav. It's only possible for this development of the Torah Shebaal Peh to take place when, as it were, the lights go out, because then room for this form of creativity opens. The more there is this powerful light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is visible to all, so then there's no room for the organic development of Torah Shebaal Peh. And thus we find, for example, that even though Talmud Bavli, like we said before, is b'machshekim hoshivani, but there is a certain advantage of the Chachamim in Bavel over the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. They were able to figure things out that though their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael couldn't. They were sharper because of this exercise. And this is relates to another topic we won't go into now, but that's how he deals with the issue, Tzadok, very beautifully, of his katnas hadoros and the like. There's something missing, to be sure, but there's also a maila. And they both can't happen at the same time. Some thinkers, like Rav Kook, felt that the scales were tipping back and we were returning to a level of nevuah and the like. But one way or the other, this idea is really what Hanukkah is all about. Yes? Do you have your hand up? Yes?
In our time, there's still, it's been continuous, essentially, that there's been some small
There's some small koach. In other words, we don't have full nevuah anymore, but the idea of the Ramban, so we quoted the Ramban says in the Gemara Bava Basra in the first parak, the Gemara says that Mishenitla nevuah min anaviim nitnu l'chachamim. So nevuah was taken away from the prophets and given to the chachamim. So what does that mean? It was given to the prophets. They're not nevi'im. If the nevuah is given to the prophets, then they wouldn't be prophets. So the answer is no, that they arrive at the truth through chachma. But the Ramban says that it's nevuah. The lashon of the Ramban is something like mivadin es ha'emes mitoch ruach hakodesh shebekirbam. Even in this low state, there continues to be Ruach HaKodesh. There continues to be, not at the same level, but to be sure, it didn't entirely disappear. And there are sparks. Even the development of the Chachmas HaNistar took place during this period of time. There were Giluyim, you know, the Ari's Torah, the Ramchal's Torah. Rav Kook writes about his own Giluyim. These things continue to take place. It just much, much, much less powerful, and therefore the Zelumazeh is that it's much weaker. So that's why you were suggesting that why is it that there's still in this world there is in a much diminished way of Avodah Zarah or Kishuf and the like, there still is that Zelumazeh. But yet, just like we live in a world where 90% of rational people will deny the existence of that, of Kishuf or Nevuah or Avodah Zarah or the like, so the same thing holds true with these types of Giluyim and Ruach HaKodesh. So it's not that it's gone, but certainly it's true that it's much weaker, and precisely because it's weaker, so that leaves room for the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. I just was thinking, I saw the another manifestation of this idea. I was learning Sefer Daniel, and the Gemara, in Daniel, so of course, in Paragimel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah refused to bow down to the idol, and Nebuchadnezzar has a fit, he gets very upset at them, he says, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And what happens? So Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah refuse to bow, and they say to him, Hain Itai Elahana Dianachna Palchin Yachil Leshezvusana Min Aton Nora Yakirito Min Yedach Malka Yeshezov. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we serve, delivers us, then he will deliver us from the fiery furnace. The Hain Lo, but if not, Yadia Lehave Lach Malka. Let it be known to you, King, that Dilalahach Lo Aisina Palchin, that we don't bow to your gods, Litzelam Dahava Dihakemata Lo Nisgud. And we don't worship the golden image that you have set up. So they refuse to bow, and they say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, then let him save us, and that will show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true God. And of course, that's exactly what happened. There was a tremendous nes. The result was Nebuchadnezzar recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. And if not, so then we still believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But of course, the result was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did indeed save them. There was that nes. If you look at the Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara in Tainus on the Yud Ches Amud Beis says, "My Turainus, Amruk Shabikesh Turainus Laroges, Lulinus Upapus Achiv Beludkia, Amrulahem, Im Me Amo Shel Chananya Mishael VeAzaria Atem, Yavo Elohechem VeYatzil Aschem Miyadi Kederach Shehitzil." As Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Miyad Nebuchadnezzar. If you guys are from the nation of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, as you claim, so let God come and rescue you. Amrulo, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Tzadikim, Gemurin, Hayu. Veruyin, Hayu, Le'asos, Lehem, Nes. Venuvuchadnezzar, Melachagun, Haya. Veroi, Le'asos, Nes, Aliado. Veoso, Rasha, Hedyotu. Ve'eno roi le'asos neis al yado. Ve'anachnu, ve'anu, nischayavnu, klaya l'makom. Ve'im ein ata horagnu, harbe hargim yesh lo l'makom, ve'harbe dubim v'arayosh yesh lo l'makom, ve'olamo, shepogim banu, ve'horgin osanu. So, there's a similar story happened again. There was a Rasha who tried to kill tzaddikim by throwing them into the furnace. And this time, of course, he succeeded. They were killed. They were burnt. So they say to him, no, this isn't a raya. They say, first of all, we wouldn't die if we're not deserving of death, and we and you are not worthy of a nes. But it's a reflection of the same idea. The difference between the first stage and the second stage of Jewish history. And as he said, this is something that that we have to keep in mind, especially in our door. Again, when we say there's no Nisim, so we don't mean nowadays. First of all, of course, there's Nisim Nistarim, but there are Nisim Gluyim. What happened in Eretz Yisrael recently, the fact that there were thousands of rockets, and again, not to Rahmana Litzlan minimize, every person is an olam male, but that there were only four casualties, that what happened was lo yuman, it was a nes. We're not saying that there are nisim, but we live in a world where the deniability is so easy and so natural. And that is why, again, why we celebrate Hanukkah. Shas, right? Bayamim ha'im bazman hazeh. We remember this nes, that last, as it were, overt miracle that preceded the period of Choshech, the period of Tarshish Baal Peh. And we remember that even though we don't see him anymore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way that we once did, it doesn't mean that he's not there. It doesn't mean that he doesn't hear. The relationship that began with the Snebo Erev Ha'esh Ve'eino Kal continues throughout the long and dark galus, and that you still have the nace of burning without consumption, and that is what we commemorate every year. B'Shah Tov U'Mutzlachas, tomorrow night, with Hanukkah. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos and a Feiruch on Hanukkah.